is Under the Hood.
Listen to me.
Under the Hood podcasts are available now on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
Available on your device now.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Instagram, IGJ Hood, also on Snapchat, SnapJ Hood. So glad to be back and be with you here on this Monday. I'm sure you've seen this on your social media and heard this from television, radio, and a lot of different sources. The reason why that I'm here doing this show tonight and throughout the week is because I want to be a distraction for what is going on right now in our country and in our world with COVID-19. And so just as much as I'm trying to help you, you're helping me because you and I can do what we do best, and that's talk about Chicago sports and sports in general, because we got a lot of topics here on this Monday night. So thanks so much for being with us. And as everyone is telling you, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Just be safe and hope everything is going well with you and your family. Whatever's going on, hope that you're safe. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. You know what is important when you're Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Chicago Bears? You know what's important? It's about trying. The word trying, you've got to be able to try when you're in this position of authority, when you are the linchpin of everything good, questionable, or bad when it comes to a football team. When you're generally managing a team like what we're seeing here with Ryan Pace, you have to make an attempt to try to better your situation. Ryan Pace is trying everything he can to, number one, save his job. Because there's no question that his job is on the line. Every time that he goes to the office, every time that he's dealing with the Chicago Bears, his job is on the line every day. He's also trying to make his team a winner. He's trying to do that. Again, he looks at this situation going 12-4 first year, second year going 8-8, third year, big question mark because you don't know what to expect. It's one thing to be able to feel like, oh, this is going the wrong direction. This is not going to work. But you still have to try. You have to realize what we realize, that there is some ineptitude on this football team and that you want to be not a team that can beat the Packers every year, not a team that can beat the Vikings every year. What it comes down to is you're trying to be one of the best teams in the NFC, to be in the mix for the playoffs. That's what it comes down to. So saving his job and making his team a winner, but also you want to be able to become a general manager someplace else in case this doesn't work out. You want to be able to be in this position as a GM, and if it doesn't work out, at least you have tried and you put some good things on a football team. You've been able to put your best foot forward, I should say. And so when you're Ryan Pace, you've made some mistakes. I mean, I read Dan Pompey's piece in theathletic.com. And a couple of things that really stood out to me is that it was a mistake to trade up for Leonard Floyd and select him with the 9th pick in the 2016 draft. I'll pause right there as Pompey was reading this and writing about this. I said at the time, I said, you know, as a Georgia fan, people ask me, like, Hood, what do you think of Leonard Floyd? You've seen all the Georgia games. What do we have? And I said, well, Leonard Floyd was always around the tackle, not necessarily the reason for the tackle. And so you saw his time with the Bears, and it was not spectacular, was it? So Leonard Floyd was with the Bears, and then Pace thought that Floyd could make big plays, and it didn't happen enough, for sure. And as Pompey writes about this in the Athletic, he says, that didn't happen often enough, and it would have been a more significant mistake to bring him back in 2020 with a salary of $13.2 million. Instead, the Bears thanked Floyd for his services, gathered his belongings in a large black garbage bag, and they were able to free up cash for Robert Quinn, one of the premier pass rushers on the market. 11.5 sacks in 2019, as many as Floyd had in 2017, 18 and 19 combined. That's what you're supposed to do. When you've made a mistake in getting Leonard Floyd, as I said at the time, not necessarily a guy that can really pay dividends for your football team. So when you have a mistake that's glaring in Leonard Floyd, you replace him with Robert Quinn. That's what you need to do. You want a pass rusher, a difference maker, that's what you get when you have Robert Quinn. As we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. And so other things that Pompey talks about, which I agree with, talking about how Pace is seeking the quarterback position more like the rest of us see it and less like the public words might have led to believe. You remember Ryan Pace said on December 31st that he believed that Trubisky is going to be the starter when the season starts. He said, he's going to be the starter when the season starts in 2020. And I thought at the time, I said, how can you say that? How can you just anoint him the starter after the 8-8 season, the ineptitude offensively that we saw from the Bears? How could that happen? Well, it happened. Ryan Pace was so sure that he was going to be the starter. And I said in January, I said in February, you know what, Ryan? Lie to us. Lie to us. If you're saying that Trubisky is going to be the starter because you want Mitch to feel good, that's great. But also have in the back of your mind that what you saw on the field is not good enough for you to get the playoffs again. So you got to lie to us. If you're going to lie to us and bring another quarterback in, that's fine. I'll also stand by this. As long as you are trying to be able to look at the situation and not turn a blind eye to it, like so many other general managers and so many others will look at Trubisky like, that's the guy. Keep pushing him out there. He's going to get better. Lie to me. I'd rather for you to do that than to just turn a blind eye to what Trubisky is. Doesn't matter if you're a Trubisky backer or not. Look at what's happening with the football team offensively. It was not good. The numbers speak for themselves. So when Pace said, oh, we feel good about Mitch. Mitch is our quarterback. Everything's fine. All of a sudden, here comes Nick Foles. You know why Nick Foles was there? Nick Foles was there for a reason. It's because of what I've been asking for. And that is, I've been asking for someone to push Trubisky, someone to battle Trubisky for the job. That's exactly what needs to happen. Trubisky cannot go to Lake Forest carte blanche believing, oh, I was fine last year. It just had to get better. No, you need competition to push you to believe that you can be better. And if he's better because of it, that's fine. And after all this, Trubisky may be the starter when the season starts. But at least I know behind him is Nick Foles, a guy that can play the position. And I'm not saying that Nick Foles is Tom Brady. What I'm saying is that it's good to have competition. And I got no problem with good competition when it comes to Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a good quarterback. Not great, but he's good. Because if he was a great quarterback, he'd be a starter on a regular basis for someone. Let's not get it twisted here. It's good that Foles is in the mix for the Bears, but you need to have someone that can push him. The one thing that Foles is very good at, Foles is very good at being the backup and being able to be the starter and flourish. We've seen this with the Eagles. We've seen this several times in his career. So what it comes down to is trying. And even though the Floyd thing didn't work out, you're getting someone in Nick Foles to push Trubisky, I got no problem with that. The only thing is, though, is that if you really wanted Trubisky to sweat, you would have at least inquired about Teddy Bridgewater. Once again, I will not say that Bridgewater is the next coming, but he proved himself. When you have a resume that you lay out there after Drew Brees was out and Bridgewater was solid, he could have easily folded under the pressure of trying to get the Saints into the playoffs and have a deep playoff run. He could have folded. But Bridgewater played well last year, enough for him to be a starter in this league. And so if you really want to go for it, and I always knew it was pie in the sky anyway, Bridgewater would have been the guy. He would have been the quarterback of the future. Foles is not going to be the quarterback of the future for this football team. That's the difference. Bridgewater's been around, but he's not so old that he can't be a starter for 5-6 years for some team. Foles is not the future for this football team. He is a safety valve for the ineptitude that we see offensively with the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky. So at least you're trying there with Foles. Here's where you're not trying. You're not trying when you get someone that's familiar. You're a guy and you feel like you're striking out on the dating scene, so you get the girl that's familiar. The girl that's on the top of your phone book and your phone. You're like, wonder what she's doing. You knew who that was? For Ryan Pace, that was Jimmy Graham. Wonder what Jimmy Graham's doing tonight. Guess what Jimmy Graham's doing? Jimmy Graham is going to cash in on a contract that he may not deserve with the Bears based on the production that he has not put up. Jimmy Graham very well could be a mistake for the Bears. 33 years old. You take a look at over the last three seasons, he's had ordinary numbers. Now, this is a tight end spot that has needed strong production, that has needed someone to be a difference maker, whether it's Trubisky or Foles or anyone else. Last year, 17 tight ends had more receiving yards than Jimmy Graham. And for the first time in his career, he will not have an MVP caliber quarterback throwing to him. The Bears reportedly will pay Graham $16 million over the next two seasons. For that money, they could have been able to get Greg Olsen. And I'm not one of these guys that says, he used to play for the Bears, so he should be with the Bears. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that if you want a veteran quarterback, Greg Olsen was there. A veteran tight end, Greg Olsen was there. There was an interest there for Olsen. He was interested in playing with the Bears again, but he signed a one-year, $7 million deal. But yet, Jimmy Graham, $16 million over the next two seasons. And then, of course, you go to the defense and Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski. Love Nick Kwiatkowski because every game you saw something special from him on the defensive side of the football. You come to find out, and you kind of, we talked about this here in the offseason. We kind of knew that Kwiatkowski would go someplace else. But I thought that Kwiatkowski would be making a little bit more money and maybe a few more years because every game seemed like he had an explosive play or two. The decision to go with Danny Trevathan, as Pompey writes, instead of Nick Kwiatkowski, is going to be second-guessed, and rightfully so. The inside linebackers ended up with very similar deals. Three-year contracts in the vicinity of $21 million. Wait a minute. So that means you could have kept a younger 26-year-old Nick Kwiatkowski, but yet you went with Danny Trevathan instead. Why'd you do that? Trying. Making an attempt to be able to make a football team better. It's not about the prism of the NFC North. It's about the prism of the NFC, getting better in the NFC. But yet these moves are the ones that have happened. Artie Burns, right, is on this team as well, right? From the Pittsburgh Steelers. What is that? That guy can't play? Question marks there. The decision to go with Trevathan over Nick Kwiatkowski is going to be questioned because Kwiatkowski would always make quality plays. Trevathan is still a good player, but he's just older. And that's the thing that's kind of a head-scratcher. Back to the tight end spot, or the wide receiver spot. So the Bears could have been able to dole money out to receivers like Emmanuel Sanders or Robbie Anderson, but yet they gave it to Jimmy Graham. Trying. It's about choices that you make as a general manager. I want to get your thoughts on something, Bears fans, at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. I want to find out from you, overall, your overall thoughts about what we've seen here with the Bears, because it's my first time talking to you about the Bears, because I was off last week. And this is my first time talking to you about Foles and what's going on with the Chicago Bears. So I'll ask you this. Sean, open the phone lines. And I want to ask you this question. Does the pickup of Nick Foles make you feel better about the offense? Because it comes down to the quarterback play, but also comes down to the weapons. And I'm wondering whether or not you feel that when Nick Foles was initially signed by the Bears, did you think, well, you know what, this is going to be better for the Bears? Did you have this feeling like this will be much better for the Bears that Nick Foles is the quarterback for this team? What do you think? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. What I will tell you is that it is good to be able to have someone to push Trubisky. If Foles is that guy, then I'm okay with it because it'll be better than what we saw last year. How much better? I'm not sure. But it'll be better than what we saw last year. Foles has been in this spot, and Trubisky's never been a backup long term before. And that those are the questions that I have. I want to talk to you about the quarterback spot for the Bears. Does the pickup of Nick Foles make you feel better about the offense? And also some of these other moves that the Bears have made. Let me get your thoughts. 312-332. ESPN is our phone number on Under the Hood.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Hi, everybody.
On ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Go!
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 right here on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Have you downloaded that thing, by the way, the ESPN Chicago app? Whether it is on your iPhone or any device that you have, your flip phone, you can be able to download the ESPN Chicago app. Check it out. That way you can listen live. You can check the podcast for Under the Hood and all the podcasts from the shows on ESPN 1000. Check it out. ESPN Chicago. Download it today. So glad that you're with me here on this Monday. It's my first time talking to you about Nick Foles, about the Bears in the offseason. We'll talk a lot about this because I think that one of the first sports that we're going to see here is football. Now, I can't say that for sure, but I'm kind of got a feeling that we're going to see football maybe first throughout this COVID-19. And I know that the NFL is just moving forward, by the way. They're going to have their draft and they'll do what they do. They're open for business. And so are we as we talk to you about the Bears. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Yeah, Ryan Pace is trying to be able to do a number of things, try to save his job. He's trying to make the team better. But it's really about how this Bears team can get better than the 8-8 season that we saw last year and get into the playoffs. You know, the NFL is trying to give teams an extra chance now with that extra wild card coming up pretty soon. But the focus for me is the quarterback spot and how this offense gets better. It's one thing to bring in Matt Nagy as a head coach and this offensive guru. It's another to take a look at how bad this offense got. And it was not good last year. And that's why it's amazing that the Bears were 8-8, just having that record because of what the Bears did not get offensively. You take your hat off to what they did defensively, but offensively it could be a lot better. And I just have always been in the camp that you push Trubisky to be better, knowing that there's someone breathing over his shoulder in a veteran like Nick Foles. That was never the case with Chase Daniel in the room. And the quarterback was like, oh, it's Chase Daniel. He's closer to being a broadcaster than he is actually a quarterback in this league. So that's not a problem, right? So, but when you have Nick Foles, now you got to be serious. Now you got to get locked in a little bit. Competition is good for everything. Competition's good. You don't want to feel too comfortable in the position. And so when you are Mitch Trubisky, you want to make sure, like, okay, oh, well, if Nick Foles is here, then I better get going here. I got to make sure that I'm focused and locked in. No excuses about the sun in my eyes and drop passes and all this other stuff. You got to be able to be the quarterback that you think you can be. And if not, Foles will be right there. I think it's going to be a quick hook for sure for Trubisky this year if he starts off the season. Let me get your thoughts. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. As long as I've been a Bears fan, there's always been quarterback competition. So why not now? There should be quarterback competition. Even if Ryan Pace feels that Trubisky's still the guy, but he's going to bring Nick Foles in, you still have to have competition. You can't let that guy go into another season feeling comfortable. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. Greg in Crown Point with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 leads us off. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Jonathan?
Good. How's that? Everything good with your family?
Yeah, right so far. You know, we actually might have to put off a wedding that we're having in North Carolina in May, but other than that, everything's good. Everybody's virus-free.
Good. So I know you hear me talking about the Bears. What? This is my first time talking to you on the air about it, so what do you think?
Well, I can't stand Trubisky. He's kind of like Rudy. He's all heart and no brains and athletic ability.
Mm-hmm.
But you hit on it right when I was calling. That Foles is, he's more like a, he can come in the fifth game of the year and pick it up and be awesome. You make him the starter on day one, and he will just fall apart.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, even if Trubisky's, you know, straight up and flies right, Greg, like, at least he knows that I got to keep playing hard. The offense got to work. it's on me to be able to get this done, because if not, Foles has got me. He's going to take over.
Yeah, and what scares me is if they do good, because I think Max could have a monster year with Quinn next to him on the other side. And then Mitch is going to get credit for it, and then Pace will be like, oh, we have to re-sign him. And I don't know, all Chicago sports, they are too loyal to their athletes. They hold on to them for a year too long. You know, Taves, Pryor, I mean, it's like fall in love with these guys, and they don't want to get rid of them until it's too late.
Well, that's certainly, you could say that about Jerry Reinsdorf-owned teams. That's for sure, with the White Sox and the Bulls. That's for sure. Glad you checked in, Greg. I'm glad everything is good with your family. Appreciate your phone call. Now, Greg leaves line open. 312-332-ESPN is our telephone number. Many are surprised about the Jimmy Graham news. When I saw that come across my phone when I was on vacation last week, I was like, what in the hell is this? That is all about familiarity. That's all it is. Like, I know Jimmy from New Orleans, and I know, like, you saw him years ago. But one thing that you know that I know, football is a young man's game. Unless that player's name is Tom Brady, you don't give older players toward the end the benefit of the doubt. You just don't pick a name out of the hat. Like, you know who I know? Jimmy Graham. And I remember when he was in New Orleans, I know that he was productive. If you just saw him with the Packers, you saw that he wasn't the same guy. So why would you even do that? It's not about the number in your phone. It's about who can be able to be productive for us. And the kind of money that Jimmy Graham is getting. I normally never do this, but it's just the idea that it's a two-year, $16 million deal. It is baffling to me. 2 years, $16 million, what you can give that to a wide receiver, another tentpole wide receiver on the other side of Allen Robinson? How come that wasn't the case? I'm baffled by that. 38 catches, 447 yards. The Bears need tight end help, but not that bad. I mean, come on now. I'm just baffled by that. I saw that last week. I'm like, what? Why? Why? Yes, you need a tight end. But you don't need a tight end like that. Many was kind of baffled by that whole story as well. Josina Anderson talking about Graham, right?
Jimmy Graham is coming from the division. So it's not as if you didn't have a direct upfront look at where Jimmy Graham is right now. It's not as if, you know, he was coming out of a different, you know, conference, what have you. It's, he was in the same division. So to your point, like, this is a guy that is not playing at where he was, and to bring in that asset, especially what was going on with Trubisky. That assessment is a little...
Yeah, the assessment is a little meaning, like it's bad. It's just like, it's a head scratcher. It's funny that Kyle Long was on ESPN 1000 just last month talking about competition for Trubisky.
Andy Dalton or Teddy Bridgewater, whomever.
Oh, Andrew, I got to stop you there, man.
Okay.
Because if you're going to bring in another guy, go get yourself a power running back to complement your two scat backs who are Pro Bowl talents. But you need to have a guy featured
as a power runner. So should they have kept Jordan Howard?
Jordan Howard was a tremendous player for the Bears. He's obviously not there anymore. So what's the answer? I don't know the answer, but it's out there somewhere.
Okay. But if they bring in another quarterback to compete, Kyle, how do you think Mitch will handle competition?
I think Mitch is a guy who will step up to the plate. He's been in the competition side of things at UNC, and he didn't come out on top there. I think he doesn't want to feel that way ever again. He's got a bad taste in his mouth about being a second-string quarterback. We're going to see a guy come out on fire next year, and I hope that the Bears match that intensity in the offseason with acquisitions in the power running game and investment early in the offensive line.
Because there seems to be this attitude that if they were to bring in another quarterback, that's almost like admitting failure with Mitch, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's tough, but I mean, I've been in the position before where they draft a guard in the second round and everybody thinks it's the best thing since sliced bread. And, you know, Cody Whitehair, tremendous friend of mine, but he comes in and competition's great. I just know he's not going to take my right guard spot, and I think Mitch has to share that intensity and emotional thought process.
Let's dig into that, because I remember playing this last month on ESPN 1000 when Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network was talking to Kyle Long about this. I said at the time that if there is competition and the competition works, then I'm not going to be mad at Ryan Pace, because you have to be able to, again, going back to the word try, you have to be able to look at the situation and say, you know, this Trubisky thing isn't working out. I need to be able to act now. It's kind of like the defense. The defense was always shored up, but he decided to bring in Khalil Mack because he wanted to solidify the defense. There's nothing wrong with that. Same thing with Nick Foles. If Trubisky gets off to a slow start or if he doesn't win the job, at least you're trying. I'm not going to look at Ryan Pace and say, oh, look at his failure. He had to bring in Nick Foles to cover up his issues. If it succeeds, what am I going to say? At least he tried to get it better, and it's working. But if it doesn't work, of course we're going to put his feet to the fire, and rightfully so. But I'm going to stand by that feeling that if it does work with Nick Foles, if he is going to be the guy and it does work out offensively, then that's a positive for this Bears team. And if Trubisky's going to be the backup, he's going to be the backup. There's a reason why that Ryan Pace balked at the notion that he was going to sign the extension for Mitch Trubisky. Because he knows like we know. Not blind. It's not working out. There's frustration that's oozing out of Matt Nagy all the time about Trubisky. It was bubbling to the surface. He never really showed it. But just in his words, you could tell that there was some issues there that he wanted rectified with Mitch Trubisky, and it didn't work out well. So let me get more of your thoughts here. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Does the pickup of Nick Foles make you feel better about the Bears' offense? And just overall, your thoughts about the offseason for the Bears, too. I want to get your thoughts on that. This is the first time you and I are talking about it, so I want to get your phone calls in. You heard my thoughts on Jimmy Graham and Kwiatkowski not being here. I want to get your thoughts because this would be – I'm looking at this, and there's still some moves that need to be made, and we got to focus in on the draft because if you're not going to make any more splash maneuvers through free agency, then the drafts better be good. And it's not that many draft picks the Bears have unless they're going to trade into more. So I'll get your thoughts here. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Under the Hood.
Get the ESPN Chicago app for podcasts and the live stream from anywhere. Download in the App Store today.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Hope that everything is going well with you and your family during this time. We are always open for business, talking Chicago sports and other things with you. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. I was thinking about quarterback battles in the past. And we just haven't had those quarterback battles a lot because of the Jay Cutler era. You know, when Jay Cutler was the quarterback for a number of years, there really was no backup that was going to push Cutler out of the position for him to be the backup. And Cutler had a hold on the quarterback spot from 2009 through 2015, and that's exactly what you wanted. You wanted to be able to have someone you could rely on. Cutler just wasn't that guy on a regular basis. But I think about those quarterback battles in the past, of even in the heyday of the Bears and with Mike Ditka, when the Bears were winning division championships, winning the Super Bowl, of course, in 1985. There was still the question, even during that time, about Mike Tomczak and Jim McMahon, and going back and forth with that. And, of course, before that, it's Vince Evans and Mike Phipps and Bob Avellini, Bobby Douglas back in the early 70s. And you work your way up to, you know, quarterbacks that you thought would be a difference maker, like Walsh and Eric Kramer, one of the best Bears quarterbacks in the history of the team, at least for the one season in 1995. Dave Craig and Shane Matthews and Cade McNown, and you know the whole thing, and that the big battle between Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton in 2005-2006. This has always been something. But when Jay Cutler came to town, there was no quarterback battle. And this is why this feels fresh. It feels new. And I want to make sure it's very clear. I'll say this now. I'll say this in July. I don't believe that Nick Foles is this like this huge difference maker that changes the Bears from being 7-9, third place in the NFC North, to the Super Bowl. I won't say that. But what I'll say is that you need to have some quality competition in place. That's something that has to happen. You have to have competition at the position. And this could work out one of two ways, as you well know. Could either be something in which this pushes Mitch to be a better quarterback than we've seen, or he'll fold under the pressure. This is why even Andrew Siciliano asked a question on NFL Network when we played just moments ago with Kyle Long. This is why there was even a question of, if Mitch is pushed, how will he react? That's why Kyle Long was asked that question. And so we don't know, and we're going to find out. We're going to find out what it's going to be about. But my focus is never just on the Bears, though. It's great to have that myopic view of saying this Bears team is good, this Bears team is bad. Everything is in the scope of the NFC. When you think about the Bears personnel versus other teams in the NFC, where are the Bears amongst all this? You can say that their defense is top 10. You can say that you like Allen Robinson, top 10, top 12 receiver in the NFC. But what about the personnel? What it really matters is that if you have a quarterback that is a difference maker, that can move the chains and get better, now you got something there. The whole focus is not on Packers and the Lions and the Vikings. At this point in time, until we see it on the field, the Bears are still in third place. The only thing is holding up the Bears is the Lions. And because the Lions do what the Lions do, right? And so when I look at the Green Bay Packers and look at that team in the NFC North in particular. So when they picked up Mercedes Lewis as a tight end, it's just a one-year deal, but they knew that Jimmy Graham wasn't the answer, and they got Christian Kirksey. And so there's no Graham, there's no Geronimo Allison, there's no Brian Bulaga, who's with the Chargers now. You take a look at the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings were able to get Dan Bailey, their kicker, locked in for a long term. They have Anthony Harris as a safety. You take a look at no more Stephon Diggs for the Bills. Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings need a wide receiver, but because of Kirk Cousins, because of what they have on both sides of the football, especially on defense, you feel like the Vikings can win another 8, 9, 10 ball games and be in the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you believe in Kirk Cousins or not, that offense can work. It would be interesting to see how that works without Stephon Diggs. And then with the Detroit Lions, well, We know what that is all about, right? I mean, the Lions were able to get Jamie Collins as a linebacker. They have Chase Daniel, the former Bear quarterback, now on that football team. They really bolstered up on defense and trying to get better defensively, including a corner and Trufant, a two-year, $21 million deal, something the Bears need to address as well on their defense. Safety, corner, it's things that they need to be able to address as well. But it's about Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy being on the same page. This NFL, the window closes so tightly in this league. It's so tight. You going to squander another defense because you can't figure out the quarterback spot? Can't do that. Can't do that another year. For those that are just like new Bears fans and not like realizing this is something I've seen for generations with the Bears. You can't do that. You got to fix it. And you got to be able to be more consistent than just winning the division a couple years ago and then going backwards. The reason why the Packers are even as good as they are is because of consistency. Yeah, they've gotten to the Super Bowl once and won it. Point is, though, is that it's about consistency, being in the mix in the NFC every year. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Jonathan Hood talking to John on I-94 about the Bears here on ESPN 1000. Hi, John.
Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. How's everything with you and your family?
We're hanging in there. Well, healthy so far.
That's all you can do.
So I've been watching football a very long time, and I was trying to rack my brain around this quarterback competition thing, and I was trying to figure out if there was a time, not the Bears, but anybody else, where you had a starting quarterback that was failing, they brought in another quarterback to make a little bit of a competition, and it actually succeeded and worked, where the quarterback actually went on to progress. I can't think of one.
Well, Foles with the Eagles is not a guy that you use as an example. Like, he can come in and was able to bolster the Eagles, right? But not to the point where he's the guy moving forward, because that's why Carson Wentz is in the spot right now with the Eagles. So that doesn't work.
Right. Well, I guess my point being, with bringing a quarterback competition, I'm not sure that's what Trubisky needs, because I don't think the competition is going to help him find the second, third, and fourth read. Well, I think it's more between the ears than actually psychologically.
Well, I mean, pressure does weird things to people, right? You can either bust pipes or fix them.
Right.
I don't know which way it's going to go.
I don't think anybody does.
but it sounds like you believe that if he just needs to be able to read defenses better. Okay, I can ride with you on that. And again, competition can get you to read those better. Foles knows the competition. He just needs to stay healthy. it's an interesting time because it's exactly what I wanted. I've been wanting this for a while. And I'm happy to see it because, it doesn't mean that this is the Super Bowl answer. I'm saying that this is something that the Bears have needed someone to push because, again, we go back to 2008, the last time that there was any real competition. Greasy, Grossman, Orton, in that era. We haven't seen quarterback competition in a while. This is something I grew up with for a long time. Like, this guy against this guy. This guy against this guy. Even the 85 Bears, where if you were a McMahon fan, it was cool, but you still weren't sure. You still wasn't sure whether or not he was going to be the guy that could lead the Bears. Because, again, same scenario. Strong defense, offense, good enough. You know, again, offense with a strong running game, good wide receivers, but where was the quarterback to get him the football? That was always the issue back in the day. And so same thing here, where you have a good enough defense to be able to keep you in ball games, and now you're wondering about the offense. And the offense means more now than it ever has before. You know, the NFL is tailored toward offense. They're officiating tailored toward offense. But when you are averaging 16 points a game, my God, that's not going to work in today's NFL. Unless your defense is pitching shutouts every game, you know that's not happening. As much as I laud the defense, there's some holes there too. And again, it's up to Ryan Pace to shore up, especially in the secondary. Ah, my time with Prince Amukamara. Can I tell you something? Just between you and I, if you were listening last year, with Prince Amukamara and I doing those shows for the Miller Lite Football Night in Chicago shows. I was all over the city, all over the – hell, not all over the city. I was in Elgin. we did a lot of shows together, right? And I would look over to Prince Amukamara.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
And I'd say, coming back next year? And Prince was like – gave me like the Kanye shrug. Wasn't sure. And I think – Prince Amukamara knew that he wasn't returning, especially when the injury occurred, because I'd ask him, like, you all right? He goes, yeah, I was just a little banged up. Should be fine. I said, you know, this is the end. I knew they had to approve on that spot. Like, you like Kyle Fuller, but on the other side, he's like, okay, yeah, this is done. You got to get younger in that spot. I totally understand it. But, boy, it's I just find myself going through and talking about the same things I've talked about for 20 plus years on the radio, and that is an offense that needs to find itself. Do we have to go through this again? And we're going through it right now. This is why there's finally competition. Now, no matter if it's Foles or Trubisky, find that other tentpole wide receiver, the other guy on the other side of Robinson, and then another tight end. They're going to have to address this in the draft. I don't care what they spent for Jimmy Grant. They got to get another tight end. I mean, like, someone can catch the football and they can put up yards. This is just nonsense. But I mean, who took over the free agency for the Bears? Kenny Williams? What's he doing over there? Kenny would pick up like Ken Griffey Jr. to down his prime and like Kevin Youkilis when it was done. What's Pace doing? I could just see like Ryan Pace. Hello,
Ryan.
Who is this?
Kenny Williams? Oh, yeah. If you want someone, you should get Jimmy Graham. Because if you don't pick him up, I will.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at TweetJHood.
On ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. Glad that you're in with me here on this Monday. Let's talk about Tom Brady coming up after the 8 o'clock hour. It's interesting opinions about Tom Brady now being with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Huh? We'll talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. And I'll kind of break down for you why the Tom Brady story is interesting to me. A couple of things here. There are some quarterbacks that are still looking for a job, and one of them is Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was with Tampa for a while. He had a lot of coaches, had a number of offensive coordinators, and so Jameis is going to be looking for a job here. Jameis is spectacular. Jameis is either a touchdown maker or an interception maker. He was in the wrong 30 for 30 club. And like over 30 interceptions, like over 30 touchdowns. It was a weird thing watching Tampa. Very odd. And so there's question marks about whether or not Jameis Winston is going to be a starter, whatever team he goes to. All I know is that you have to wonder when you're a general manager, is the juice worth the squeeze when it comes to having Jameis Winston on your roster? Yeah, you saw all those numbers. And yeah, you saw the amount of production that was put up by Tampa, but not if you're giving it away. Over 30 interceptions. I'm wondering, is he going to start for someplace? When we saw free agency, when everything started with free agency, I was talking about how there might be some players without a job. It's definitely without a starting job. I don't know if that's Jameis Winston. I know that Cam Newton also will be looking for some place too. Cam Newton also, someone that used to be good in college, that used to be good early in his career. Injury set in, he's over 30, now not necessarily the commodity. Always question marks about whether or not Cam Newton is going to be with a team like, I don't know, the New England Patriots. I would love to have Cam on the Bears or some other team if it was Cam 1.0. This Cam, not so sure. It's not Superman. He opens up the uniform now, it says, hello, kitty. It's not Superman anymore. Used to be something special, but I don't know if he still has that speed. It has the ability like he used to as a quarterback with Carolina early in his career under Ron Rivera. But the questions are about what is best for Jameis Winston. Marcus Spears was on Get Up talking about a good spot for Jameis Winston.
And we kind of see Jameson being in that same vein, big guy, strong arms, offense tailored to what they like to do. When you look at Pittsburgh and you think about Jameis Winston being able to sit under Mike Tomlin, think about him watching Ben Roethlisberger go about his business every day. To me, that's a good fit. If it's not a good fit offensively, it's a good fit psychologically, putting him around guys that have done it at a successful rate for a long time.
Yeah, so the thoughts there from Marcus Spears, maybe a Steeler. Maybe. We'll find out. But the quarterbacks that we're used to seeing, there's a possibility that some of these guys will not be able to start again. Because if you are a team that believes in a young quarterback, you're sticking with that young quarterback. Unless that commodity wants to be a backup, more than likely that person will not be starting, and that could be Winston, could be Cam Newton as well. As much as I love the NBA, by the way, here's the great unknown when it comes to this COVID-19. And I know, like you know, all the sports is shut down. They're all shut down. And I'm optimistic. I'm usually optimistic, but I'm optimistic that we will see sports sometime. And I marked it down like June 1st. If it is June 1st, that might be too late for the NBA to start. Maybe it's before Memorial Day. Maybe it's in mid to late May. Who knows? Because the stories and the news that we see and everything that we read, we have no idea how long this pandemic is going to last. But if it's the NBA, man, if it's in May, there is an opportunity for the league to be able to cobble together some kind of tournament to be able to crown a champion. But that wouldn't be the NBA if they just kind of hurried it along. Because now you had to go back into training camp, get people back into shape, and then restart. Never mind about the LeBron video that we've seen. LeBron is a monster. Of course he's working out during this time. What about everybody else in the league? As much as I love for the NBA to be able to come back, we can't rush it. More than likely, we just won't have an NBA champion. I don't know if the Players Association would sign off on some kind of summer league where you get 16 teams, like, you want to come back in June or July? Nah. See you in October or November. More than likely, right? There's a lot of these sports, it's a likelihood that we just don't get a 2020 champion, which is too bad because there's so many interesting storylines.
We were going to see a new NBA champion this upcoming season. We were going to see it. It was, and Toronto was going to be in that mix, but not as much as the Clippers and the Lakers, which would have been really fun to watch. Not as much as Milwaukee being in that conversation. Now we'll never know. The one thing we do know, and we'll talk about this later, that the Bulls weren't going to be anywhere close to it. They weren't going to be one of the top 16 teams. No Bulls in the mix. And some Bulls fans probably feel like they got cheated. Ah, there's a few more games. We would have got that eighth spot. Ah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They wouldn't have been in it. Joe Cowley, boy, I don't know if you guys have been reading the Sun-Times. Well, I've been off last week and early this morning. Cowley's been killing it in the Sun-Times. He's like, I got nothing else to do. I got no games. Let me just start ripping the crap out of the Bulls. And he's been doing a great job of it, too. It's well done, of course, the way Cowley does it, because he's very keen, very good when it comes to giving you insight without really spilling the beans on everything. So we'll get into that a little bit later on, but as much as I would love the league to return, I'm not sure if it will or not. And if it does, when? Then big question marks on that. My thoughts on Tom Brady, and again, I'll keep the phone lines open for you. You want to jump in? Here, I'm here. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Tom Brady with Tampa. Why is that a disconnect for me and maybe for Patriots fans as well?
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.